Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Griese! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And hello once again. This is Coach Chuck Griese. It's another week of American Tennis now in our fourth year of broadcasting on the UR Tennis Network. And each week you can get fantastic shows on the UR Tennis Network. Jason Haynes is the originator and the CEO of the UR Tennis Network. He has a program 2 hours from right now on collegiate tennis. Every Tuesday, you can get a great update on the Parenting Aces program. Lisa Stone continues to break records with her program and it's one of the best out there, folks. Tomorrow afternoon at 5:30 Eastern time, I will be very privileged to be with John Denise on his Florida high school tennis program, and I get to talk about some of my ideas on what we might be able to do to wake up the sleeping giant of high school tennis. You've heard me say very often on this program that high school tennis is the sleeping giant, that rural tennis is the sleeping giant. This is where all of our talent is at, and for whatever reason, it is not being developed. And, folks, I'm looking forward to that program. You know, John has tremendous numbers and a tremendous following for many years. High school tennis in Florida was known as the best place out there for recruiting and a lot of reasons, and I will get into this tomorrow, format being one of them. It's one of these things that we often talk about getting dumbed down, not just in Florida. We have 350,000 youngsters playing high school tennis. Only 17,000 play tournaments. Now, what's that? 7%. What in the world is going on? Why is it becoming an after-school activity? And why is it not a championship sport? Could it be that no-cut tennis where they don't cut players anymore? Could it be the fact that they just sort of look at it like a person playing in the band, not in the orchestra? Are we not demanding enough out of the youngsters? Well, let's get into it tomorrow. That's John Denise's program. Also, Coach Steve Clark out at the University Northern Washington out there has got a fantastic program, and he's had some wonderful guests on. But our mission here in American tennis is for you to stand up and speak out, and we talk about issues, sometimes controversial, sometimes educational. But, folks, we need you to stand up, speak out, and to say those things that need to be said. Edmund Burke says it all, that are things you don't want to prosper, or a direction that you didn't plan for to prosper is for good men, good people to do nothing. If you want to call in, it's area code 714-583-6853, 714-583-6853, and you can be a guest on our show or just give us your opinion. YourTennisNetwork.com is where you go on your iPhone or your computer pad and get every one of the programs over the past 6 years now. Hundreds of programs, thanks to Jason Haynes and the UR Tennis Network. But you are the letter U, the letter R, the number 10, the letter S, network.com. Also, you can go to chuckcreasy.net, K-R-I-E-S-E. .net. But let's get going on today's program, because we have a shorter version today with our instructional series. We do not have a guest, but we have an instructional series. And program today is on avoiding tweenerism. Now, if that is just a catchy phrase to get listeners, well, it is. But folks, it's something that we continue to talk about. Go to the program last week. Coach Randy Blumenthal, a fantastic program, and he brought up so many things, but I'm going to summarize in the first part here. He talked about how to bring excellence back to the teaching, not just tennis teaching, classroom teaching, and everything that we're doing. And I've got a few stories to tell you here, but this morning I got up early and I couldn't sleep, but as I can't sleep, I often go to my Netflix videos, and one of my favorite I watched again this week was on Winston Churchill and Walking with Destiny. Winston Churchill, Walking with Destiny, is fantastic, but one person does matter. Winston Churchill basically saved the world from Nazism. Winston Churchill turned everything, the tide of the war. It wasn't the United States, it was Winston Churchill. Greatest man, greatest person of the 20th century, you know, I think by far. But I watched that, and then I also watched last night, it wasn't an educational documentary like I love to watch, but it was the movie Invincible, which I've seen now three times. And if you've seen that, it was about Vince Papale, who tried out as a walk-on when Dick Vermeil first went to the Philadelphia Eagles. He made the team, and golly, you know what I loved about the movie? The movie was one of hope, one of excellence, it just basically showed so much down deep about how men are wired. And to you women listening out there, it's not a cut on women competitiveness or women anything, but men need competition. Tell me if you think this is wrong, but I'd say women want competition. Men need competition. It's basically who we are. We need to face dangers. We need to live adventures. We need to have competition. It's part of who we are and the competitive aspect of tennis. Now, let me stop in a minute here before I get half of you listening out there upset with me, and this is not a disclaimer, this is a fact, that when I coached 2.5 or 3 years of women's tennis in the last 5 to 7 years, I have not had anyone more competitive nor dead set on doing well than the young ladies that I worked with. But here's the thing about women's tennis. Women's tennis, they had to trust you. They had to believe what you were doing, and they had to respect you. The biggest thing was the trust. They had to trust that you had their best interest in mind. And I have seen it reversed those of us at times who have coached young ladies, and if they don't trust you, it's like trying to get a to move a mule, move, I'll move a ton of bricks. It's impossible because a woman has such a strong willpower. But once they believe in what you're doing, it was thrilling. You know, guys try to jockey, and they try to present a front of toughness. They try to just sort of act like they're tough, and you know, they become tweeners a little bit easier, I think, than women. Women either are all in or all out. Guys are sort of in between. This is an observation, folks, after my 44 years of coaching and my 51 years in the sport, for sure. But I wanted to talk a little bit here about Coach Randy Blumendahl last week. It was a fantastic program. So go back to the program of the 14th of October, Coach Randy Blumendahl, number two. We had him on for 2 weeks in a row. But here's the 5 points summarized very quickly. He talked about developing ecosystems where the learning and the education and the growth happens as a result of the ecosystem, not ego system. I think the little play on words there is fantastic. But in tennis, we cut off the learning in a hurry when it's about the ego instead of the environment. And honor the game, it will honor you. It's not about you. The other thing he said was structure, need for structure, but not for cookie cutter. Freedom to be creative. He kept impressing freedom to create and to learn in your way to be who you are. It was a fantastic way to explain it. Third was accountability to excellence, not to, we could say tweenerism, but accountability to excellence and to do, basically the youngsters need to know that they are all in. And all in doesn't just mean their body. It doesn't just mean their mind. It means their heart and their soul as well. I always, when I talk to youngsters, I say you can go to school every day of your life and never be a student. You can play piano 8 hours a day for 15 years and still not be a musician. In tennis, well, you sure in the heck can stand on a tennis court 6 hours a day and never be a tennis player. The critical thing is the complete engagement of the mind, the heart, the soul. And we talked a lot about that. He talked about, number four, setting the bar of excellence and not lowering it to try to build self-esteem. Now, this morning when I was watching about getting back to come around some full circle here to talk about Vince Papale and the movie I watched this morning again, but the bar for excellence is set. And when somebody reaches that high bar of excellence, it is time for jubilation and excitement and all those things. Now, think about what we have done to create tweenerism, and I'm going to get to the tweenerism here in a second. But we have tried to work on developing self-esteem. So we have, from the start, we give kids awards and participation trophies. And my kid is a great kid. How many bumper stickers have you seen? My kid is a great Robert E. Lee Elementary or George Washington Elementary or Thomas Jefferson Elementary. My kid is a great kid. I mean, and we've tried now forever to work on self-esteem. And, you know, it's all about, you know, the self-esteem, fake self-esteem does not work. And kids aren't stupid. But it's sort of backfired, hasn't it, to the place now where people really don't know what excellence is and sort of what showing up is. And I'm going to talk about the difference between a rhinestone, a diamond, and a cubic zirconium in a minute. But the last thing that Coach Blumendahl brought up after setting the bar and not lowering it was getting the right people. We need the right leaders out there. We need those people who have been vested in our sport for a long time, vested in their educational endeavor for a long time. We have so many number two people running organizations now. And number one, as number one people will hire number one people, number two people hire number three people. Let me say this as a disclaimer or an observation to many of you out there. Folks, I'm a number one person when it comes to tennis. I've done it for 43 years, and I'm in there. I've done my coaching around the world, and I've dedicated my life completely in my education endeavor. It's been to being better at this sport, and I'm all in. But let me tell you, I'm a number two person when it comes to maybe baseball coaching. I'm going to be an assistant baseball coach for my son's Little League team. I don't pretend to know enough about baseball to be a head coach. I am a number two person when it comes to golf. I am about number three person when it comes to music. I tried to join the choir at my church a few years back, and I'm a number three person there. But I have no right whatsoever in trying to be the band director or the orchestra leader when it comes to music. I've been a music lover my whole life. My father used to play classical music over and over when I was a child, and I absolutely love every kind of music. However, I am a number two or number three person at best. I would never attempt to be a number one person, but we have number two and three people in number one positions all over the place in tennis. And there's nothing more pathetic than small people in big positions. Now, you can be small in what you know if you're big in how you go. People are small in what they know and small in what how they go. And it's tough. It's tough to watch this. But listen to the program last week. Coach Randy Blumendahl had a great one. Program today is about avoiding tweenerisms. Tweenerism. What is tweenerism? We're going to explain it when we come back in another minute here, right after these messages.
This is Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at ChuckCreasy.net. That's ChuckCreasy.net.
This is Coach Chuck Creasy, and I wanted to remind you of our 2015 holiday camp. Go to ChuckCreasy.net. Your youngster will learn about the physical, the mental, and the emotional aspects of competition, not just on how they hit the ball, but competitive elements of the physical, mental, and emotional aspects of tennis. We also cover momentum control. Creasy.net for more information. We're making them in America, and we don't want tweeners. We've got too many tweeners, so what's a tweener? All right, here's the story. About 2 years ago, my wife called, and she said, Charlie, she calls me Charlie, got to motivate our children. They're getting ready to swim a big swim meet. And I said, well, I'm on the road, and I'm supposed to get them on the phone and say some kind of magic words here or something. And it's a tough one. And I give them my old one-line standbys that you give the loaded language, do your best, and forget the rest. Okay. That didn't exactly do it for them. And I said, regular stuff is? They said, yeah, Papa, good enough. That didn't quite do it for them. So I remembered back to a track athlete at Clemson University when I was still working there back about, it's probably been 10 to 12 years ago, talked about and how the coach came back from a meet with them and had told them on a Sunday evening that tomorrow's going to be an easy day. And, of course, the athlete was referring to practice on a Monday and hoping that they would just do starts and keep it pretty simple. And the next day, the coach had a little bit of surprise, changed his mind. He said, well, today we're doing 16-400s. And the track athlete goes, you know, it's quite interesting. This workout is not what I remembered the most. I remembered most that people separated themselves into four categories. The first category, three or four of the players, athletes said, oh, coach, I'm injured. I got to go to the training room. Coach, I got this study assignment. And for whatever reason, they bailed out. And he said, the second group of athletes pretty much said, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. And they did the workout, but complained the whole time. Then the athletes said, well, I was in the third group. The third group of athletes said, you know, this is a tough one. Let's just go get it done. Let's do this and get it over with. But the really, really revealing quality was there was a fourth group of three athletes. And she, you know what? This is our chance to train more. And therefore, the message was that in all of our endeavors, when they're really, really hard, we do assume four of these postures. The first is the wimpy. They bail out when it gets tough. They have mysterious injuries. I call them the phantom injuries that happen when they just really don't want to get stuff done. The wimpies, the whiners, we're the second group. The whiners are the athletes that say, this isn't fair. We were supposed to have an easy day. And then the athlete said, you know, my group, I'm a little bit ashamed because I shoulda, coulda, woulda been something very special like those last three athletes that said it's our chance to train. It's our chance to get better. Then I chose the lesser route. The lesser route was to say, let's just go get it over with. So you have the wimpies, the whiners, the wieners. The wieners are the tweeners. The wieners are the tweeners. And then the winners were the ones, of course. So I told my children this. You got wimpies, whiners, wieners, winners. You know, I love the wiener is the tweener. The definition of tweener in basketball, go look at Wikipedia. It says, someone who can play two positions, neither one of them very well. So you sort of straddle the fence. You sort of straddle the, you're half in, half out. You do the work physically, you don't work, do it mentally. The tweener is the wiener. The winner understands it. The compliance of something is the least possible thing a person can do. You're compliant because there's a law. You're compliant because you're forced to. You're compliant because your mom and dad told you to. You're compliant because it seems like the best thing to do. Well, compliance is like I've often said, it's doing things right, but it sure might not be doing the right thing. Commitment is the next step. I've always said that I would rather have a person committed to doing the wrong thing than compliant, only compliant and doing the right thing. Now think about this one. Think about this, what I just said. Most of us like compliance. In our computerized world, we like order. We like systems. We like the cookie-cutter method of teaching. We like the cookie-cutter responses. We like it where it's just the least possible resistance. We like our nice kids if we're referees at a tennis match. We're creating a lot of just nice kids who do the right thing, who are hard triers, but are they fierce competitors? I say to you, they are not. Commitment means we now have your head. Huh. Inspired enthusiasm, now we have your heart and your soul. Your heart is something much deeper than even your heart. Inspired enthusiasm. And I've mentioned inspired enthusiasm on our program before. Inspired enthusiasm. Enthusiasm comes from the Greek derivative hen theos, H-E-N theos, T-H-E-O-S, the Spirit of God within. So if someone says you're enthusiastic, it's extremely powerful. So would I rather have a committed person that's enthusiastic? You bet I would, even if they're doing the right thing, or even if they're doing the wrong thing. Because listen to me now, folks, listen to me. You have that person who is compliant. They do the right thing. They do the wrong thing. They keep the governor on their engine. They go between 55 and 72 miles an hour emotionally. Now, I'm not talking about highway driving. You understand what I'm talking about. They have the governor on, or the governor on their engine, and they don't go faster. They don't go slower. They just operate with compliance. But they do things right. Well, do they do right things right, wrong things right? Look. I would like a committed person who have inspired enthusiasm every day of the week who does the wrong thing. I'd rather have a person doing the wrong thing doing the wrong thing with passion, which is actually doing right things wrong. Wow. Wow. What a paradox in that one. Did you hear what I'm saying here? Doing things right or doing right things wrong? The right things wrong on the tennis court, you referees are probably cringing and say, what in the world is he talking about? Look, the passion is more important than the actions. Our youngsters, what we're doing is we're monitoring actions instead of their passion. On a scale of 1 to 10, their passion is a 3. Their actions are 9. Oh, aren't they just nice kids? So what do we got? We got dumbed down kids who don't know how to be passionate. Think about this. What I'm saying now, you're saying, well, wrong things on the court. Wait a minute. Didn't he say right things, wrong things? No, I'm saying do the right things wrong in order to get the right things right. Passion is more important than the doing things right that are insignificant, not long-lasting. Now, look, are actions on the court important? Yes. You have to learn how to keep passion in check. You have to build that steering wheel for our youngsters have to build that steering wheel. But folks, it is easier to tame a roaring tiger than to inspire a timid pussycat. We're creating timid pussycats. We need fierce, ferocious tigers. I don't see us doing that. Do you? Call in, 714-583-6853. We want to talk about this a little bit. But we're talking about tweenerism, the disease of tweenerism. Now, look, youngsters go through the phase of being compliant, then being committed, hopefully get to inspired passion and enthusiasm. ultimately the reticular activating system, the RAS. Look it up. Look it up on YouTube. You want the key to motivating youngsters, these millennial youngsters who seem so lukewarm and have a governor on their engine all the time? A lot of answers, not enough fire, not enough commitment. Go look up reticular activating system. It's a 13-minute, 1-second video on YouTube. It's fantastic. It's the answer. It's the answer. So avoiding tweenerism, though, tweenerism is everywhere in our society. It's everywhere. We, the Little League sports, I say to you that high school tennis is a tweener sport now. It's a tweener sport because we've done this no-cut tennis, because we've allowed people on without paying a price. Any of you that played high school basketball, high school baseball, high school football growing up, or maybe high school tennis, do you remember them putting up the cut lists on the door of the gym? We had 100 boys trying out for my high school team when I went out for high school basketball. And the second day, after just running the whole first day, we had about 40 left. The next day, we had about 35 left. The next day, the coach put up a list, cut it to 15. The next day, the coach put up a list, cut it to a few less. And each at each cut, I agonized as a young boy, hoping that I didn't get cut. When you made the team, it was tremendous. If you didn't make the team, well, you know what? If you didn't have it in you, you weren't going to be a basketball player anyway, or you weren't going to be that sport athlete. I'm going to play back this, what I've played so often. Listen, and folks, I'm going to tell you, first of all, a lot of cussing in this, but I want to play this little clip from Whiplash again. Best movie of last year because it illustrates so much about what
I'm sorry. No, listen,
nah,
hey,
I'm sorry.
I get it. I know I made enemies. I'm conducting a little well. They brought back the JVC Fest this year. They got me opening in a couple of weeks with a pro band.
That's great.
Yeah, it's all right. Truth is, I don't think people understood what it was I was doing at Schaefer. I wasn't there to conduct. Any fucking moron can wave his arms and keep people in tempo. I was there to push people beyond what's expected of them. I believe that is an absolute necessity. Otherwise, we're depriving the world of the next Louis Armstrong, the next Charlie Parker. I told you that story about how Charlie Parker became Charlie Parker, right?
Joe Jones threw a symbol at his head.
Exactly. Parker's a young kid, pretty good on the sax, gets up to play at a cutting session, and he fucks it up. And Jones nearly decapitates him for it. And he's laughed off stage. Cries himself to sleep that night, but the next morning, what does he do? He practices. And he practices and he practices with one goal in mind, never to be laughed at again. And a year later, he goes back to the Reno and he steps up on that stage and he plays the best motherfucking solo the world has ever heard. So imagine if Jones had just said, well, that's okay, Charlie. That was all right. Good job. And Charlie thinks to himself, well, shit, I did do a pretty good job. End of story. No bird. That, to me, is an absolute tragedy. But that's just what the world wants now. People wonder why jazz is dying. I tell you, man, and every Starbucks jazz album just proves my point, really. There are no two words in the English language more harmful than good job.
But is there a line? You know, maybe you go too far and you discourage the next Charlie Parker from ever becoming Charlie Parker?
No, man, no. Because the next Charlie Parker would never be discouraged.
Yeah.
The truth is, Andrew, I...
And I've played this three or four times on my program, and those of you who continue to listen to it, I apologize, but again, the message is so powerful. It is so powerful. I have a loaded language statement that I learned years ago, and my mother was pretty awesome. As we walked out the door, she'd say things to you like, soap is cheap, books are free, never be dirty or dumb, love many, trust few, paddle your own canoe, do your best, for God will take care of the rest. In the loaded language, you remember, this is since 1950, folks, but one thing that one of the best statements I've ever heard, and she said was, you know, son, the world promises you buckets of rhinestones, but you have a chance to make one diamond with your life. And God gives you the chance to make one diamond with your life. Johnny Wooden's statement is, who I am is my gift, God's gift to me. Who I become is my gift back to God. And with the responsibility of understanding that, that's heavy, that the diamonds versus rhinestones. I've often asked people, do you know the difference between a diamond, a rhinestone, or a cubic zirconium? And I say to you, I will say to you very strongly that in our society, we have perfected almost the making of fake diamonds. The cubic zirconium, our kid is a great kid. We have championship banners put up for mishmash championships. We have 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, 5A, 8A, 15 stars, 16 stars, Green League, Blue League, every league possible. Pretty soon, people don't know why they're playing or what they're playing for. Yeah, you think that it breeds a system of excellence, but it really just does the reverse. When you champion the weak, you end up weakening the real champions. You know, I had one of my players walk up to me at the end of last year and it says, Coach, you work us so hard. Can't you be just as good without working hard? And I go, whoa. And to me, it dawned on me that this generation of young people, and I'm not running down you millennials, but I guess I am, you don't understand that there is no gain without some pain. Comfort bears no fruit. And that the more you sweat in peacetime, the less you bleed in war. And that any success is a shallow success if you haven't suffered to get it. You will easily give away something you haven't worked for. You will never give up something that you have toiled for. So my player was like, can't we be just as good without working hard? Isn't it more about talent? I said, no, it's the value of the work that you do, and that is what gives you ownership. Many years ago, we had a young man that asked a similar question in the early 90s. At that time, our team had won a conference championship, but one of the former football coaches at Clemson had been part of the national championship team. And the national championship football team at Clemson 1981, and he had a beautiful, beautiful ring. It was not a flaunty one that it was just all glitters and diamonds. It was just solid. It was just a great ring. And by the way, Bobby McKinley out there, I noticed that how he cherishes his 1972 NCAA championship ring. I saw him in Kalamazoo. Bob McKinley at Trinity University back in those days was part of that team in 1972 that won the national championship. But I saw his ring. It was more simple. It didn't have the flash. It didn't have all of the clips. So this advisor said to the students, you know, he said, it's about the sweat that you put in. And he said, let me ask you something here. He says, if if you got found my ring, it's a national championship ring, and outside in the bushes or somewhere, and you didn't know who it belonged to, and you found out you could sell it for $300 or $400, would you sell it if, you know, honestly you didn't know whose it was, but somebody wanted to pay you for it? He said, yeah, I would. He said, now, take a look at your championship ring that you sweat for all of those years and working in Coach Creasy's program and all the running, all the time put in with the other players, all of the camaraderie, everything that you had to go through, the blood, sweat, the tears. Would you sell it for $300 and it's just a conference championship ring? Mine is a national championship. He said, no. He says, $500. No. $1,000. Hit the guy's teeth. And he said, well, you're getting close here. You're getting warmer, coach. But no. $10,000. No. Some things are not for sale. That is why you work hard. Ability plus desire plus opportunity. Diamonds are made with pressure and time. Rhinestones, cheap. Tweenerism accomplishments are easy to pick up, easy to put down. Trouble is we're making cubics or codiums in our computer age, and we've got masterful at having, oh, one shining moment at the NCAA tournament, or, oh, this is such a great kid, let's give him this sportsmanship award, and we give him this big trophy, and it's a cubic zirconium, and people say, wow, was it for something very, very special? No, this was a participation trophy, not very special. The value comes from the work that is put in. Ability plus desire plus opportunity. I'm going to speak on that briefly. I got to go here in a few minutes. I'm going to try to wrap this up, folks. But the three P's are the only skill set, are the only tools that a coach really has. The three P's: peers, pain, pleasure. Peers, surround your people with the right people that know the difference between a diamond and a rhinestone, that will not compromise their work ethic, that will not compromise their standard, that will not compromise their knowledge of what a real accomplishment is. You want the maestro. You want that teacher from Whiplash. You want the orchestra conductor that calls you out if you miss a note when you're doing the violin concerto. You want that piano teacher that is tough on you. You want that English teacher that's tough on you. You want that coach that tries to bring out everything in you, or you will have regret later. The greatest sorrow will be to remember when and have regret of what might have been. You want the tough coaches. You want the people around you that support that. Peers, pain for not doing what the people are supposed to do. Now, that guy was masterful and Whiplash. Cry and shame is that we don't allow pain now. We don't allow punishment. We think it's cruel and usual punishment. Pleasure. The cry and shame is we give so many trophies, kids don't know. You can give kids T-shirts for doing something now, it's not even a big deal. Years ago, if you gave a youngster a T-shirt or a set of string or anything, it was a big, big reward. Taste for excellence is dumbed down when you give too many awards. They don't understand the difference. Those of you who are listening to this live, you can go to urtennis.net and listen to the last 5 minutes. We're going to go off the air in our instructional series. We only stay on for 45 minutes, but I'm allowed here, according to the computer, to stay on a few minutes longer. But I wanted to say that peers, pain, and pleasure, I want to wind this up. Again, surround your people with the right people. And it's mainly more than people who get a lot of glitz and flash. It's the people that understand the value of sacrifice, the value of suffering, and the value of working long and hard for long-term, short-term good decisions make long-term gain, but it usually comes with a price, and then it's value. The pain of not doing the right thing, good luck with that one, folks. I think the best way to provide the pain right now if you're a coach, pretty much, if you will, just remove the players from the situation. You know, put them down on the second team. Make them ride the pine for a little bit. Gosh, we're not even allowed to do that, are we, a lot? I ever tell you the story about getting thrown out of my first coaching debut as a church league basketball coach? I wouldn't play one little kid because he didn't come to practice. Referee came over and said, "Coach, you got to play him in half the game. It's church league." I said, "Well, he doesn't come to practice. He's not playing." I said, "He's good, coach. You got to play." I said, "He's a sorry little kid. He's not playing." Referee gave me a T, threw me out of the game, and the boy's mother sort of booed me. And the tragedy is that the boy got to go into the game. He didn't have to ride the pine. He got to play anyway. Pierce Payne, good luck with the pain. You better figure out some innovative way that are not marked as cruel and unusual punishment. The consequences now of giving the kids any mental hardships, emotional hardships, you're not allowed to physical, are you allowed to run the kids anymore for screwing up? Boy, that's a tough one. Listen, the pain of having to run the punishment is how they get the burden of the guilt off of them. Any of you that are Catholics out there and listening, you know how the importance of penance. But it gets it off of you if I have to suffer a little bit for the wrong I have done. I would gladly do it then rather to carry it around with me in the form of guilt and then try to validate my own actions. Have you ever noticed why people do the wrong thing, try to win so many people over to their side? I've always thought about this. Don't they understand that they're doing the wrong thing, that it's almost deviant behavior sometimes, and they push so hard to convince people that it's not. A lot of the time what they're doing is they were not punished for their convicted. How's that? Convicted by the inner self, the conscious, the inner spirit, the Holy Spirit, convicted of the wrongdoing, and they didn't get to do their penance. They didn't get punished by their parents. And then they have to carry it around with them in the form of guilt. And then they have to validate it, and they try to validate a wrong behavior often. Wow. Good luck with providing the pain, the appearance pain. The pleasure part of it, again, good luck with that. Again, that's you've got to be very creative. Kids don't care about T-shirts. Most of the time what I found out really works with working with kids and getting them out of that wiener mode is that you advance them or demote them very quickly. You have a system that really puts them into the ball game or takes them out. Let them ride that pine. There is nothing that works on the head better than to ride the pine and get a few splinters into the old rear end. And there's nothing that does it better. And then the rewarding, do not be too liberal with giving too many pats on the back, or they won't mean as much. One pat on the back now and then does a lot, but good luck with that and monitor that. Folks, we have an epidemic of tweenerism in the United States. It is a tough one. It's everywhere we turn. We're a very liberal society, and that we want everybody to have fairness. Well, you know what? Have you ever heard of tolerance is not a virtue either. We tolerate less than, I don't mean tolerance in the kind of people or something, their different skill sets or the way they were born. We're talking about tolerance of bad behavior. Tolerance of bad behavior is not a virtue. And we need to call people out now and then if we care about them. Folks, with the tweenerism, with working with young children, I think that the most important thing to understand is that wieners are almost winners. And a lot of them will stand on the side and they will make fun of, make excuses why they are not, and they will dabble in the winner's circle, but they will not invest themselves completely in the winner's circle. The tragedy is when the ability is enough, the opportunities are enough, but the desire of the heart is not there. You can't do anything about God-given ability And the tragedy also is that if you give people too many opportunities, they don't develop the desire. But all three of those are important. On a scale of 1 to 10, the litmus test I always use is go from 1 to 10 and evaluate ability, evaluate desire, evaluate opportunity. And if you do those from 1 to 10, if the number's between 23 to 25, when they are all added up together, you can take off and go to the moon. But if you've got, let's see, ability is an 8, opportunity is an 8, and your youngster's desire is only a 5, that's 21, no way at all. It ain't going to work. If it's an 8, an 8, and an 8, got a pretty good chance. If it's an 8, an 8, and a 9, they're going to go to the moon. If the 9 is the desire, and guess which one they can control? They can control the desire part. Why do young people not give all? Because the doubt of, if we could give all and always have a good result, they would give all. Unfortunately, we give all and we have bad results sometime. And everybody's afraid of committed failure. The committed failure part is something that youngsters learn after a while, that it's like a broken bone. Committed failure is like a bone that breaks and then it heals. They're twice as strong and twice as willing to lay everything on the line the next time. The problem is if they back off of giving their best and they lose, it becomes like a disease. It becomes like something that they carry around with them even when they are well. Even when they get better, they're still sick from the disease. Folks, we need all of you in this game. We need each and every one of you to really invest in working with our youngsters and working and can get a little mileage out of the tweener-wiener thing. But it really is the telling tell. Wienerism is the very, very worst thing, tweenerism, because if you present everything and you look like you're doing the right thing, you act like you're doing the right thing, you're even compliant, but in the heart of hearts, it being a tweener is being a tweener. You don't want to be able to straddle the fence. Absolutely, our children, this next generation coming up, if we want to have greatness in tennis, we really have to get rid of tweenerism. I mean, well, I don't see any tweenerism, Djokovic and Nadal or Federer and these guys, and everybody said, well, they're just superior athletes. You know what? They are, but they're not tweeners in the way that they take care of business on the court and compete. Competitors, not just hard triers. We need kids that go all the way. They're all in. All in is what we're after. Folks, we love this program. We thank Jason Haynes for putting the UR Tennis Network together. Thanks for listening again. And I got to go.
Made in America, born in a heartland, raised up a family, a King James and Uncle Sam. He's got the red, white, blue, fine high on a farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his left arm. Spent a little more in the store for a tag in the back of his USA. He's just made in America. Made in America. Made in America.
And reminding you that you're in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with win or loss. We'll see you all next week. Don't be a tweener.